A reading from Acts. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they had heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. This is the word of the Lord.
The reading from Psalm 98. O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him victory. The Lord has made known his victory. He has revealed his vindication in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody. With trumpets and the sound of the horn, make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing together for joy at the presence of the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity.
And our second reading is from the first book of John. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who believes the parent loves the child. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one that testifies, for the Spirit is the truth. This is the word of the Lord.
Would you please stand for the gospel reading? The Lord be with you. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please, would you sit down? Well, if you have any doubt as to how hard Tim works, not only has he prepared and is leading Sunday school this morning, but he's also prepared the sermon for this morning as well. And so I said I would be very happy to read the sermon to you. So can you believe it's been over a month since we celebrated Easter? I wonder how many of you still have Easter eggs lurking around at home. I certainly don't. They're gone by Easter Monday. But for us as Christians, we're reminded that Easter isn't just a solitary day. It's an entire season spanning 40 days of celebrating the risen Jesus and his empowering presence among his disciples before ascending to heaven. Now let's remind ourselves of the rhythm of the church seasons. Next Thursday marks Ascension, the poignant moment when Jesus returned to his Father's embrace in heaven. Following swiftly, just 10 days later, is Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descended, filling the disciples with the power and the presence of God. Then we journey through ordinary time, period during which we witness the Holy Spirit's transformative work within the church, extending until Advent, a solemn 4 weeks contemplating the imminent return of Jesus to judge the earth. From there, we transition through to Christmas, into Epiphany, and after a brief pause, back again into the solemnness of Lent and the joyful celebration of Easter. So, how do we ensure that the earth-shattering good news of Easter reverberates throughout the coming year? Well, first and foremost, through prayer. We must fervently pray for a steadfast desire to continue celebrating the fact that we follow a living Savior. And to aid us in this endeavor, there are four simple yet profound things that we can pray for ourselves and our church family. And our Bible readings from today give us four essential elements to pray for: listening, singing, obeying, and rejoicing. Listening, singing, obeying, and rejoicing. So firstly, listening. In Acts 10, Peter has just finished preaching the good news of Jesus to some non-Jewish believers, and they've responded in the most amazing way. We read, "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God." Now, before this incident, before this happened, Peter received a summons to go to the city of Caesarea with a mission, to tell a Roman centurion named Cornelius all about Jesus, about his story and what he's done for everyone. God gave Peter a vision, making it crystal clear that even though Cornelius and his crew weren't Jewish, God still wanted to save them. Upon hearing Peter explain this gospel message, this good news, they immediately react with repentance and faith. And they experience being filled with the Holy Spirit, evidenced by all their newfound abilities to speak in tongues. For them to reach this pivotal moment, there were two essential steps. First, Peter had to heed God's message conveyed through the vision, overcoming his previous perceptions of what was considered clean and unclean. Secondly, Cornelius and his companions had to attentively listen to Peter's teachings. Now, in the Old Testament, the word for both hearing and obeying, which is shema, is the same: hearing and obeying, emphasizing the inseparable connection between the two actions. In other words, to hear is to obey. So Peter and Cornelius were required not only to hear, but also act upon what they had heard. And the same is true for us. Whenever we engage with the Bible or attend church, God communicates with us. He speaks to each of us. It's unavoidable. Doesn't matter how sleepy you're feeling or what your week's been like, God will speak to us. But the crucial question remains, are we truly listening? Life's many distractions can hinder our ability to tune in to what Jesus is conveying. So it's vital that we cultivate discipline and carve out intentional moments for Him to speak in our lives, even dedicating a few minutes each day to open our Bibles or revisit Sunday's teaching can create space for God's voice to resonate within us. In those moments, we can earnestly inquire of God, Lord, what do you want me to understand? How should this apply to my life? So, first of all, listening. Second, singing. Whether singing brings you joy or dread, whether your voice is angelic or less than perfect, those details are beside the point because every Christian is called to sing. And just like any loving parent, God delights in hearing his children raise their voices in song. Psalm 98:1, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The psalmist doesn't merely suggest singing when we're in the mood, it's a command. Think about how crucial singing can be in supporting others. If you're at the Amex and the Albion is 1-0 down, you don't stop singing, do you? What do? You raise your voice even louder. It's in those moments they need to hear the fans rallying behind them. When we come together as a church family, we should be eager to sing. Not only does it uplift our spirits to God, but it also reflects our enthusiasm and our excitement for God. The psalmist outlines various reasons why God deserves our songs of praise. But have you ever thought about what you would include in a song to God? What aspects of your life are you really thankful for because of what he has done? How would you express the reality of Jesus being alive through the lyrics you write? A friend of mine once mentioned, sing like you're saved. Think about it. When you sing, do you sing with confidence and joy of someone who knows that they're saved? Or does your singing reflect a sense of waiting for someone to rescue you? So singing. Third is obeying. Now, our culture makes the word obey sound miserable and oppressive. But obeying the risen Jesus is exactly the opposite of these things. It's a privilege and it's freeing. You don't have to be in charge anymore. 1 John 5:3 says, in fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. Many are drawn to the concept of God's boundless love, and rightly so. However, loving God is more than just feeling and emotion. After all, God's ultimate demonstration of love isn't merely an emotion, but the profound sacrifice of sending his son to die and rise again for each of us. Therefore, our love for God is reflected in our obedience to his commandments. Some may argue the commandments in the Bible are outdated or irrelevant, yet the truth is nothing surpasses the timeless wisdom, moral clarity, and unwavering focus on God found in the Bible, whether that's the Ten Commandments, Sermon on the Mount, or anywhere else in Scripture. But when we read the Bible, it's important we understand different commands. They may have had greater relevance to ancient Israel than to us today. And we read about three different types of commands in the Bible. And I think this is quite helpful to remember. We see moral commandments, like do not murder, do not commit adultery. And these remain just as relevant today as when they were first spoken. Jesus, in fact, emphasizes these commands and says they extend beyond our actions to encompass even our innermost thoughts. So moral commands. Then there are civil commands. During the 40 years of Israel's journey through the wilderness, there were no prisons. Hence, you can't have a prison in a tent, really, can you? It's kind of difficult. So certain commandments addressed how to handle offenders and resolve disputes. And while there are valuable lessons to gain from these regulations, we're not bound to the same civil laws as Israel once had. So moral commandments, civil commandments, and lastly, there are ceremonial commandments. These regulations governed how the people maintained ceremonial purity in anticipation of the Messiah's arrival and the eventual inclusion of the Gentiles. They outlined restrictions on clothing and on food and Sabbath observance. These practices served as a visible declaration to the world that the Israelites were chosen, set apart by God for a unique purpose, to ultimately, through Jesus, bring God's blessings to all nations. In his first letter, God underscores the significance of obeying God's commands as an expression of love. This love is most profoundly demonstrated through loving God and sacrificially loving one another, mirroring the love exemplified by Jesus towards us. And then lastly, rejoicing, joy. The resurrected Jesus desires us to experience the deepest joy imaginable, and this joy stems from knowing him intimately. So in our John 15 reading, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Joy is closely related to happiness, but it's far deeper than emotions can come or go. While happiness depends on external circumstances, joy is rooted in a profound sense of contentment and fulfillment that comes from a deeper connection with God. It's an enduring state of inner peace and gladness that remains steadfast even in the face of adversity. A joy that comes because we have been chosen by God. Jesus extends an invitation to us, calling us not just servants, but friends, chosen and beloved. This intimate relationship with him transforms our interactions from mere religious obligations into meaningful conversations with a cherished friend. Imagine sitting down with Jesus, your trusted friend, and talking to him and spending time with him. But if Jesus was still in the tomb, such a conversation would be impossible. But because he lives, we have the incredible privilege of communing with him. He is not distant or far off. He is present and eager to hear from us. So as we reflect on transitioning from this Easter season, boldly proclaiming the risen Jesus, let's pray fervently that both individually and collectively as a church, we will actively engage in listening, singing, obeying, and rejoicing. Amen.